Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show here on InfoWars Sunday Night Live. I'm your host, Royce White, here in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. The belly of the beast, we have to say it three times. Belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota, Providential. You might get the most hardcore U.S. Senate candidate in recent memory of our great nation on the tail end of what might be one of the most fraudulent scandals, one of the most fraudulent scams in our nation's history. When it's all said and done, from one group of people, one community of people, under one governor, under one term in office, this might go down as one of the biggest frauds in American history. Providential, going into the 2026 midterms. I heard that Alex Jones said that he may come to Minnesota. I can't wait. We're going to get Alex in the studio. Feel free to record Alex Jones Show right here in the studio. You can have my seat. It would be an honor. Maybe we'll do a podcast or something else while I was here. But I'll go door to door with you. I can't wait till you get here, Alex. You call me up. I'm going door to door with you. And that's what we have to do. That has to be the new modus operandi of the MAGA movement and the America First movement. And by way of the Republican Party, the new MO is we're not going to sit back and wait for ABC, you know, or MSNBC or any of these other globalist captured media outlets to tell us our marching orders, to tell us where the fraud and corruption is. We're not going to wait for Fox News to call the election on election night. Never forget 2020. We'll be taking your apology whenever you're ready there, Fox News. We'll be taking your formal apology about 2020 anytime you get ready. But this is the new MO. We have to be out there in the streets. Let's pull up the video, you know, and again, to understand what we're dealing with here. I want the video of the Somalis who are all but bragging. They can say it's a joke. They can say they're joking around. It's funny. First of all, it ain't funny. It ain't funny. And I'll be saying this as well. You better make sure your immigration status is on the up and up. Let's just put that on out there. I know a lot of Somalis here in Minnesota. A lot of Somalis in the Republican Party that support President Trump, support me. And I tell them the same as I tell my own black community. The time for favorites is over. There are no more favorites. When I say there are no more party lines, I mean the same when it comes to ethnicity or race or color or any of that. You know, there is no more favoritism. There's just the American people, the American citizens, the value of American citizenship, the future of this great republic, and that's it. On the other side of this break here, we're gonna come back with a few of those videos. We're gonna play them again. I was just in awe, even watching some of them myself here in the studio. Of course, we have the most expensive cars on the back of the American taxpayer, bragging about it right out in the open. And you wonder when Tim Walz sees that, what does he think? He thinks job well done. It's the system is working exactly as we want it to. We're going to drop the hammer now. That's what has to happen in this country. All across this country, we need to drop the hammer on the corruption. Hell, I even hear that there was a lawsuit filed today with the FEC about Amy Klobuchar allegedly smurfing campaign contributions to the tune of $9.5 million, dropping the bucket of $18 billion. But for a single United States Senate candidate, $10 million smurfing donations? Not confirmed, alleged. Minnesota, ground zero, belly of the beast. You're watching the Alex Jones Show here on InfoWars Sunday Night Live. I'm your guest host, Royce White. We'll be back right on the other side of a brief break. Stay tuned.
In my kitchen, traditions, pure delight. Optimal human beef tallow treats meals just right. Cook strong at high heat with a taste so bright. So get yourself to the Alex Jones store. Support the crew and the InfoWars.
Wake up, folks! Spread this message! The globalist machine is tightening the chains, and they're after your freedoms!
The Podesta plan is in operation!
Don't worry, it's safe and effective.
Don't you just love my GMO potatoes?
Ladies and gentlemen, the truth is unfolding before our very eyes. We must question everything.
I'm a Minnesota Somalian. Of course I live in a big house funded by United States taxpayers.
I'm a Minnesota Somalian. Of course we have the most luxurious cars.
I'm Minnesota Somali. I'm champion border. Hi.
I'm a Minnesota Somalian. Of course I married my sister to come here.
I'm a Minnesota Somalian. Of course I tell the government I feed 3,000 kids for no reason. Did you get the bill yet?
Hey, of course I'm a Minnesota Somali. Of course we live in Minneapolis, nigga.
Hey, get the...
I'm a Minnesota Somalian. Of course, I got 12 siblings. I don't even know half of their names.
I'm a Minnesota Somali. Of course, Minnesota Somali was promised to us 3,000 years ago.
Hi, Trump. I'm back so much.
Haha, you work all day. You don't got shit. Thank you for working so hard so I can be home all day. Free. I can use my EBT. Go to work for me, white boy. White girl. Yeah. Go to work for me, you white animals. Work for me. Yeah, you work for me. And the U.S. government is the... They work for me. All of you work for me. Now go to work. Pay them taxes. Take care of me and my people. All right? This is my land. I control this place. This is my reality. You all gonna be enchained. I'm gonna lock all you guys up if you don't pay your taxes. You better pay your tax.
Proud to be a freeloader. I get everything for free while you work 50 hours a week. Ha ha, boo boo. Somalians is taking.
My biggest fear in life is that this man may never witness our full takeover. Yes, he may never witness that. He already witnessed our partial takeover, our little success in America.
That's the reality, folks. That is the reality. People say, oh, the America First movement. Such a dangerous ideology, such a dangerous philosophy. America First, what does it really mean? Does it mean America only? I would say so. Given the circumstances, yeah. Given what I just witnessed there, and it'd be one thing if it was said in humor and there wasn't $10 billion of fraud conservatively leaking out of the Minnesota state government. That'd be a whole different situation. But when I see a cultural sentiment from a young Somali man who brags and jokes about making white Americans, and when he says white Americans, it's really a dog whistle for all Americans. He's saying white because it's culturally accepted to say, go to work for me, white boy. But he means all you black citizens out there that are going to work and paying your taxes. He means all you working class Latinos who are here legally. He's telling you to go to work and pay your taxes so he can live free off of the government. He's just saying white boy because it's accepted. It's acceptable, culturally accepted. And I wonder, I ask myself, if my son got caught, if I caught my son on TikTok saying something or doing something that disgusting, would everybody in the audience be okay with me going upside his head? Because I would, regardless of how anybody else felt about it. Regardless of how anybody else felt about it, if I caught my son saying something so disgusting and ridiculous, jokingly. It's not really a joke when it ends up being the truth, but even if he thought it was humorous, I'd go upside his head because it's an affront to his own. his own sacred honor, his own citizenship. But where is this young man's parents? Are they okay with him saying this? Where is the disavowalment from the Somali community, the Somali leaders, the same leaders that you saw there with Peggy Flanagan? And maybe this is what we should do next, Mr. Shirley, Nick Shirley. Maybe we should bring this video of this young man to the Somali community leaders and say, what do you think about what this young man is saying? Is this a community-wide sentiment in the Somali community? Is this a community-wide sentiment that the rest of the American taxpayers, the American citizens and American taxpayers, are nothing more than the slaves of these Somali immigrants? I think we would be shocked to find out that there are some, if not many, Somali leaders in the community who actually do think this is an appropriate, you know, an appropriate comment to make. And see, it all harkens back to their baseline philosophy. The baseline philosophy of diversity, equity, and inclusion is America as a subset of the British Empire in colonialism deserve to be destroyed. The ironic thing, the shocking thing culturally, is that there seems to be a lot of Americans who don't come from these places that agree with their own self-destruction. There is a real nihilism and sadomasochism in liberal white America. And I talked about it this Saturday on my show, and I said that I'm offended when I see videos of liberal white women or leftist white women, or really more or less just freaky, kinky, strange white women making their white boyfriends or white husbands or clients, maybe they're into some type of sexual fetish, professional agreement, whatever the case may be, but it makes me sick to my stomach as a black man to see white women force white men to get down on all fours and kiss the shoes of black men. It's disrespectful. It's disgusting. It's disgusting. It's disrespectful. It's disrespectful and disgusting and dehumanizing to him, which it's intended to be. But it also drafts black men into the sick sort of world history warping of their political philosophy. And don't draft me into your sick, twisted cosplay. I don't need anybody to get down on all fours and kiss my feet because of some victim narrative that they're teaching in the liberal universities. And you could say, oh, that's an anomaly. The point is, it shouldn't even be culturally accepted. How is it? How is it that I get suspended from social media? I get a strike on YouTube. I get suspended on X even after Elon Musk took over. I get suspended on Facebook for talking about COVID or saying the word tranny. But it's not pornographic and inappropriate to have videos of white men getting down on all fours, kissing the feet of black men at the behest of their white girlfriends or wives or whoever. I mean, look what we've done to this country. And they really believe it. The sick and twisted part is the people who run the Democrat Party, the intellectual thought leaders, they really believe in suicidal empathy. They believe we should concede the destruction of this nation and our citizenship, the value of our citizenship alongside it because of this academic narrative that they're teaching about the history of the world. And it's so selective. I say this all the time. The greatest representation of modern colonialism is America giving our sons and daughters and our taxpayer money to defend the territorial integrity of Europe. That's the greatest example of colonialism. All of these liberal academics, oh, white supremacy, white people have been a scourge on the earth. They've decimated these marginalized peoples, blacks and browns and Asians and everybody else. White man bad, as Ilhan Omar said, white man bad. But she's willing to sign her vote in the Congress to give more funding to Ukraine to defend the territorial integrity of said colonial empire. And they want you to believe it. They just think you're stupid. They think you're good little sheep. And it's sad to say, unfortunately, you know, given recent elections, the outcome of recent elections, or let's say the consensus, the cultural consensus from recent elections, and I'm still seeing it today. I'm still watching. Just tune in every once in a while. Tune in to MSNBC, CNN, ABC, the New York Times, The Guardian. They're still at it. Even after President Trump won and had a mandate from the American people, they pretended like they were going to ease off of the Trump derangement syndrome for a moment. And they let the smoke clear from the incredible defeat they suffered. And now they're right back at it. It's all about the Epstein files. And, the Epstein files is important, not a nothing issue, not something we're going to skim over by any means. And we're not afraid to say that Jeffrey Epstein was an Israeli asset. Why? I mean, you can look at he and the former prime minister were meeting about backdoor arms deals to get arms to the Russians or there's all kinds of stuff linking Jeffrey Epstein to Israel. Now, was he a formal Mossad agent? I mean, who would ever know that? Where would we have to even go to get that kind of information? But we're not going to skim over it. We're also not going to skim over the fact that CIA and MI6 might be involved. Or the Five Eyes as a whole. Or even some of your Gucci Bedouins there. And this is the great gaffe. Let's stop pretending that we have this sort of jump ball, this geopolitical religious jump ball between Christians and Muslims and Jews. Oh, no. A lot of those Gucci Bedouins there in the Middle East and in the Arab world are right there in business with Israel themselves. And don't put it past them to be involved in a joint operation of intelligence with a person like a Jeffrey Epstein or whoever else. But this audience gets that. I mean, this audience gets that you can trust nobody. Hell, don't trust me. You just watch my actions. You watch the things I'm willing to say, and even more importantly, the things I'm willing to do and the lengths I'm willing to go to fight for the freedom of this republic. You watch me. You don't trust me. You watch. You watch and you listen intently. So we're not skipping over anything that President Trump has or has not done in the first year of this second term. But we do see the selectiveness with which the Democrat Party and the mainstream liberal media continues to try and gaslight us. You don't like white men. We get it. We get it. You got a huge problem with white men, and it's an easy story to sell. It's easy to tell blacks and Somalis and Latinos and Asians and Jews even in some respects. It's easy to tell everybody in America that their problem is white men. Well, we're not buying it. Sorry. Sorry, I'm not sorry. I'm not buying it. As a black man, I'm just not buying it. Is there plenty of blame to go around with some white men in this country's recent history and long history? Of course. Of course. We're not skipping over that either. Is George W. Bush a white man? Yeah. Yes, he is. Is Bill Clinton a white man? Yes, he is. Is milquetoast moderate Mitt Romney a white man? Yes, he is. But I'm more interested in the corruption. I'm more interested in why all these other groups, you can break them down and name them however you want to, why blacks and Latinos and Asians and Middle Easterns and whoever else, I'm more interested in why we are so willing to accept the corruption. Even furthermore, we're willing to accept a BS scapegoat like race. Oh, racism. And I've been saying this since the beginning. I can't stand when people in the conservative movement say, well, we need to stop talking about race. Don't bring up race. We don't need to be talking about race, because they feel bullied and pressured by the narrative around race and racism of white people. So the white conservative goes, we don't need to talk about race. Oh, yes, we do. We're going to talk about the way race has been used to manipulate and bully the conversation until the cows come home. That's exactly what we need to be talking about. We don't need to shy away from it. Let's talk about it. We have to talk about it. We need to talk. We need to name names. We need to tie to say it the way that they say it. You say you're the black community, then you're the black community. You say you're Somali, like the young man in the video. You want to brag about being a Somali living off the American taxpayer? Well, then we're going to call you Somali. We're going to say you're a Somali scumbag. And if any of the Somalis have a problem with it, feel free to come talk to me. I'm not hard to find. You feel free to come and talk to me about it. And I'll hold that video up right in front of you and say, you agree with what this young man is saying? And if you do, I'll spit at your feet like the scumbag that you are. But I'm equal opportunity with it, because I'm compelled to spit at the feet of some of these rhino establishment Republicans, too, who say, Mike Lindell isn't a good candidate. He can't win. He can't appeal to moderate, suburban, white, liberal women. We can't run Mike Lindell because he can't appeal to suburban white women. He's just too controversial. I want to spit at their feet the same way. And I see the corollary. There is a link between the fraud that has taken place in Minnesota under Tim Walz and the controlled opposition Republicans who refuse to stand up and stand on their soapbox and say, this is wrong. 100% with no equivocations, this is wrong. They were afraid because all of these election experts, all of these consultants that come from D.C., who are under the tutelage of Karl Rove, say, you got to do the math. Where's the math? Where's the path to victory? You're going to need some of those Somali votes. You don't want to disenfranchise all the Somalis to the Republican Party platform. So maybe you don't use the word Somali. Maybe you just use the word fraud. No, we're going to say Somali fraud. Somali fraud. You see how easy that is? And it's not lost on me that if the fraud was in the black community, nobody would have a problem saying black people's fraud. And black people shouldn't have a problem with it either, because you are the net result. Again, I said this before, but I'll continue to say it. When you elect people to represent you, when you choose people to represent you, when you participate in your community and you have given over representation even to community leaders at a much more local, smaller level, they represent you. When your children leave the house, they represent you. You cannot hold up your race and your identity and your community and your success and then say it's racism in your failures. As a black community, we hold up certain individuals, like let's say a LeBron James, for example, lack of a better example. LeBron James, black excellence. Look at all of his success, his financial wealth, his accolades in the NBA. And they are great. He's had an incredible career in the NBA. Nobody can take that away from him. And he's made a lot of money. Hasn't spoken the truth too many times when it comes to politics, but we'll save that for another conversation. The point is, we hold them up and we say, this is an example of black excellence. But when the homicide rate in black communities is 10 times the white community, when the homicide rate between black men is 10 times the homicide rate between white men, we say, oh, that's racism. No, no, no. You can't say that that's the black community. That doesn't represent the whole community. That tells you you're superficial. That tells you you're a puppet. That tells you you're a sellout. That tells you you're only in politics or culture or conversation for the theatrics, for what it can do for you, not for the truth. If you only hold yourself or your identity up in your success and you don't take accountability in your failures, you are a coward. Like here, let me give you an example. The Catholic Church has done a number of great things around the world. But the pedophilia was a problem. As a Catholic man, I can say that. It's not uncomfortable for me to say that. It's just true. The Catholic Church is important. The Catholic faith is important. I have pride in being a Catholic. But the Catholic Church has some problems. The deep church. We have problems in the Catholic Church. Big problems, evil problems. And there was a problem with the pedophilia in the Catholic Church, and there may still be. There probably still is in some corners, in some places. Maybe just doing a better job of hiding it these days. Who knows? Time will tell. We'll find out. But when we find that information out, that we don't say, oh, well, you guys are being bigoted towards Catholics. Huh? There were priests molesting little boys under the guise of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In the house of the Lord, why would we ever shy away from taking full accountability and responsibility for that transgression, that sin? And at the same time, we're not going to let white liberals, Democrats, leftists, Marxists, atheists say there's no legitimacy to the Catholic faith or the Catholic Church at all because of the pedophilia. Uh-uh. And this is what I mean about calling the balls and strikes. These things aren't as complex as they seem. Everybody just wants to play a game. And like Alex Jones said, we're done with the games. We don't have time for games anymore. We had our run. The managed decline of the West, the CCP is now on the rise with a trail of Western receipts. Your money going to the Somali community. And they brag about it right out in the open. We're not going to let these people tell us that our flaws, that our mistakes, that our shortcomings are justification for our self-destruction. We're not empathomanic. We don't have suicidal empathy. We're realists. We see what the problems are. We've diagnosed the problems. We're going to get rid of the corruption. But first, you need honest people in office. Venture to say I'm one of them. 2026 is going to be providential. Minnesota, ground zero. All eyes are on the belly of the beast. And I'm happy that I'm here to be able to fight on the front line. We'll be right back in a moment. Stay tuned.
President Trump was cooking at McDonald's the other day and giving people french fries. And people criticized me and they said, well, you know, he's out there giving fast food. And I said, I don't have anything against fast food. I'm against food that has seed oils. When I was a kid, McDonald's was made with tallow fat. That was good for you. Your body needs that. It makes you healthy.
It's great.
Why aren't we making with tallow fat again?
RFK Jr. shocked many when he sat down for a meal with Fox's Sean Hannity. The pair dined at fast food chain Steak and Shake, eating burgers and fries in a bid to highlight the chain's switch to frying their food in beef tallow, which is a healthier alternative to traditionally used seed oils.
People are raving about these french fries. You taste them.
They're amazing. They really are.
I am so excited. After over a year, we have the highest quality private labeled beef tallow out there. You've heard RFK Jr. rave about it, the health effects, how good it is. This sucker is boom heavy. This is high quality. It is very competitively priced, and it funds this whole operation. It is Optimal Human Beef Tallow, grass-fed from thealexjonesstore.com. And it is night and day compared to all these other fats and all these trans fats and all of the seed oils that are so toxic, especially when you heat them. Not this. It is so good. It is now available, discounted, at thealexjonesstore.com. No preservatives, no artificial ingredients, gluten-free, packed with nutrients, unlike seed oils, which are fake toxic garbage. Beef tallow is real food that promotes whole body health and is so good for your brain. And 25% off right now. Beef tallow is 100% pure beef fat concentrated, packed with vitamins like A, D, E, and K to support hormone health and fuels your brain with clean energy. No industrial processing, used by humans forever. No additives, preservatives, or GMO garbage. High smoke point to support various cooking methods like frying, roasting, or baking without releasing toxic fumes or free-range free radicals. Rich, clean flavor. Ladies and gentlemen, it's night and day. Beef tallow is the best. We've got a private label, one of the top brands in the country at thealexjonesstore.com. We are so excited about this. And again, Kennedy talks about the health effects, talks about how delicious it is. I remember until the 90s, the best places, you know, you get french fries at McDonald's, where they went total GMO, fried their fries in beef tallow. God, did they taste good. So it's also totally delicious. You fund the operation. And cows that God gave us are amazing. We also have our bovine colostrum is a private label of the highest quality, 2,000 milligrams per scoop with other natural herb compounds, the marshmallow root that accelerates it. And it's the first 2 weeks of any mammal, including humans, isn't what you think of as milk. It's basically clear, and it's full of all of these super nutrients that boost your immune system, that grow your brain, that help your cells, that energize everything. It's literally the first mother's milk concentrated. Big discounts on it right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And there's so many other amazing products there as well. We have the new creatine gummies that are the highest quality type of creatine, concentrated 5 milligrams per gummy. Everybody knows about creatine for your muscles and working out and your heart and stuff, but the brain effects and with your nerve endings, it is truly incredible. So be sure and check that out as well. Our new creatine gummies in 2 different flavors. It's a really great deal, a huge container of them for a low price. And then talk about your mitochondria, your cells, skipping multiple oxidation processes in the cells, cleaning them out, getting fast, clean energy with no letdown. And that's just the first effects. And everything else for your brain, your body, it is amazing. The workouts, ultra methylene blue. We have the best medical grade. You've heard me talk about it. You've heard the rave reviews. You're insane if you don't get it. And yes, the third shipment, both have been small, because it's very hard to make. It's got so many great ingredients. Proprietary methylene red. Look at what's in it. Look up each ingredient. Ask Brock about it. Ask your doctor about it. Ultra methylene red, a limited shipment just came in today.
Back to the Alex Jones Show here on InfoWars Sunday Night Live. I'm your host, Royce White. I'm in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. I'm your guest host for the evening. And this is our last 30 minutes. We're honored, as always, to be able to guest host anytime Alex Jones needs me on Sunday evening. Anytime Alex Jones needs me, I'm here. I'm here because he's been fighting for 30 years. The things that he was saying back then, the things he was saying 30 years ago, the things he was saying 30 days ago, they just continue to turn out to be true. And the mainstream media continues to gaslight the American people and say, Alex Jones is crazy. How can you think you're going to win a United States Senate seat and you're aligning yourself with radicals like Alex Jones? Because I have huge American balls. That's why. And the truth doesn't scare me. When we really get down to the bottom of this whole deal, the problem with American culture is that the truth scares a lot of Americans. A lot of American citizens are afraid of the truth. They can't handle it. Or let's say they don't believe they can handle it. Their intuition is to shy away from the truth. That's starting to change now. But what we're living through now would have never happened had it not been for people like Alex Jones. That's anytime he calls, anytime I'm here. they can use this clip. They can use me being a guest host as what they call opposition research and run the clips until the cows come home. You put me up against Peggy. Bring the video back up of Peggy Flanagan. Let's do a side by side. I want to do a side by side. Bring the hostage video back up of Peggy Flanagan with the Somali community leaders there. Let's get a side by side going. Put me up against these people any day of the week, any day of any week, of any month, of any year. And you get the government you deserve. If the people of Minnesota, there you go. Here, let's put me straight on. These are your choices. Minnesota. These are your choices. Native American, Irish Catholic, Lieutenant Governor under the very fraud that's being broken, pandering to the exact community responsible for the fraud. They're in on it together, and she wears the hijab to justify the rigged outcome of the elections come 2026. This is going to be the next United States senator from the great state of Minnesota? Are you kidding me? And we'll look back on it afterward. After all the fake votes are tallied, after all the dirty voter rolls are in, we'll look back on it and the Minnesota Republican Party establishment will say, well, Royce just wasn't a good enough candidate. And we'll believe him. Some of us will believe it. Not a lot of people in this audience, obviously. But the net of American citizens, it seems, will believe it. And as I'm as big on election integrity as they come. I say the number one priority is election integrity. Your average slot machine at a local casino has a better chain of custody than your average voter machine. That's a problem. That should concern every single American citizen, whether you're Republican, Democrat, Independent, Libertarian, doesn't matter. Your average slot machine at a local casino has a better chain of custody than your average voter machine. That's about as despicable for a nation as not having a border. In fact, the two are the same. Not having a border and not having secure elections is one and the same. But the question is, do we accept the narrative? Do we, the American people, accept it? And there are huge portions that I see online, and you never know because it's online. You don't know if you're working with Chinese bots or whatever the case may be. But I do see people who I know are real people who make this argument. They say, you got to run stronger candidates. When they say stronger candidates, they mean candidates who will lie in order to get elected. That's become the prerequisite. Back to my clip from the cold open in the first hour. The prerequisite is that politicians become enmeshed in the corruption of the machine. We tell our politicians not to sell out, but deep down we expect them to. And we expect them to sell out because there's something in it for us. It's the same thing I said on the PBS Frontline interview about the Somali community as a whole. Guy asks me, you know, Mike is the reporter. He asks me, says, well, you say that, that tyranny is convenient. Well, what do you mean tyranny is convenient? It's not convenient for the Somali man who was mistaken for an illegal when he was really legal. I say to him, it's convenient for the Somali community as a whole. Well, what do you mean? How is it convenient? It's convenient for the government to be bigger than it's supposed to be because they take the subsidies. And it's the same as the black community. And by and large, it's the same as the entire American populace. As long as the federal government can run an economic Ponzi scheme that perceptionally raises the base wealth of the American people more through superficial radical materialism than any real substance, as long as that's the case, we will accept the tyranny. We will accept the corruption. We will accept that our politicians, that our D.C. elites are nothing but backstabbing baron robbers. We conceded that. We continued to vote for the Mitt Romneys and the Mitch McConnells and the Lindsey Grahams. I don't care what President Trump says. Nobody in South Carolina should vote for Lindsey Graham. With all due respect, Mr. President, you know I support you 100%. and I don't know exactly why you need to endorse Lindsey Graham, and I don't really care at this point. The bottom line is nobody who believes in this movement, the MAGA movement, the America First movement, nobody who believes in having a country or saving this republic should vote for Lindsey Graham in South Carolina. And let's just broaden the scope. People say, well, yo, Royce, even if you get in the United States Senate, you're only one man. I'm only one man until the American people say enough is enough. That's all that has to happen. And it could happen in one election. Do we need a 60-40 majority in the U.S. Senate to change this country? No. No, all we need is 15 to 20 patriots to swing the majority. Put that in your pipe and smoke it, Karl Rove. Put that in your political expert pipe and smoke it, Karl Scumbag Rove. We don't need a 60-40 majority. We just need 15 to 20 America First patriots that can swing the majority. And if all other 80 United States senators want to team up against the America Firsters, let's call it the America First Caucus in the United States Senate. If the other 80 senators decide to team up against the 20 America First Caucus senators, then I guess we all see what's really going on, don't we? But we have to be brave enough to take that plunge into the darkness, into the wilderness, into uncertainty, uncharted territory. We have to be the American people. The will of the people, we the people, have to be willing to take that plunge into the unknown. So right now, all we should be thinking about in the America First movement is, where are the vulnerable United States senators? Where are the vulnerable races? Because we're going to get 15 to 20 America Firsters in 2026. We're not waiting to 2028. In 2026, some of you globalists, U.S. senators are getting a primary. Apropos to what I'm talking about right here, I just received a little bit of a note here on X where, and there's a video. I'm going to post it for you. I should play it for you, but I'm just going to tell you the shorthand of what's said, okay? Tom Emmer, back in 2015, was in a town hall in St. Cloud, Minnesota, and he says to the citizens of St. Cloud that they have to take as many Somalis as they can, whether they like it or not, because America. He called the Somalis the fastest assimilating immigrant group and says they are just like the Germans. A few weeks after this, he founded the Somali Caucus in the House of Representatives alongside current Attorney General Keith Ellison. Tom Emmer, House Majority Whip. He's a Never-Royster. Can we call him a Never-Royster? Is that a good term? Tom Emmer, the Never-Royster. Doesn't like Royce at all. Doesn't like me. Didn't endorse me. I'm going up against Amy Klobuchar, one of the most well-funded Democrats and corrupt, it would appear, allegedly corrupt Democrats, smurfing campaign contributions to the tune of $10 million, allegedly. We'll see. Going up against radical leftist Amy Klobuchar and Tom, the House Majority Whip Emmer, wouldn't even endorse me in the general election. There is the face of deception, ladies and gentlemen. But he comes into the Republican State Convention, and the crowd goes wild because we love to see a Minnesota congressman have such a high status there in the D.C. swamp. I mean, for God's sakes, he's the House Majority Whip. We love that one of our own from right here in Minnesota has made it to the top of the heap in the dung hole known as Washington, D.C. So he comes into these Republican Party conventions and the entire crowd stands and claps and they hang their nose because half of them know, but they stand and clap anyway out of respect for Congressman Emmer. And I just sit there in the back like this. I just sit there in the back and I smile and I shake my head. And I try to get eye contact with Tom Emmer every time I get a chance. Then I just shake my head and I smile. And after Tom's done speaking, I come up and I go, the Rhino establishment is the problem. And about half of the room goes, yeah, you know, he's right. And that is the battle. That's the fight we're in. Tom Emmer comes into the Minnesota Republican State Convention. We will never abandon Israel. And the crowd goes, ah. And I just shake my head and smile. I go, is that all he has to say? Is that all he has to say? How did the Jewish Americans here in Minnesota, how did the Jewish residents of Minnesota, of the greater Twin Cities, feel about a young Somali man joking that all of us have to pay taxes so that he can live free, and Tom Emmer being at the start of this entire immigration process? And I don't mean back to the 90s when they first started coming, but I mean, you know, more recently when the narrative got, you know, took root. You got to go back to when the narrative takes root. The narrative takes root when the immigration is unchallenged, and then all of a sudden an opportunistic politician stands up and goes, you know what, I think this will be good for my political expediency. So instead of saying there's a problem with this whole deal, there's a problem with the military-industrial complex. There's a problem with our foreign entanglements. There's a problem with us dipping our nose in everybody else's business and then taking their refugees as some type of international quid pro quo. There's a problem with these things. Instead of doing that, I say, let me form the Somali caucus. The Somalis are the fastest assimilating group in America. They're just like the Germans. They're just like the Germans. Congressman Emmer? The Germans, huh? Which Germans are you talking about exactly? Which Germans are you referring to? Oh, never mind. We'll save that for another Sunday. Fraud running rampant in Minnesota, and it's providential. If you're out there across the country, if you're in Minnesota, understand these things are providential. All of the corruption, all of the muck in the pus under that boil, we're lancing that boil. All of it's coming to the surface. Your grandmother used to tell you, you got a boil, you get to take you a hot pack and you place it on that boil, that you place it on there and you let that pus rise to the surface. And that's what President Trump did. Like him or not, love him or hate him, agree, disagree. The MAGA movement placed a hot pack on a boil of this country, of the D.C. swamp, of the deep state, of the globalist agenda. The MAGA movement placed a hot pack right on that boil, and now the America First movement is going to come and lance that boil. Yours truly. People keep saying, why don't you move to a red state? Move to a state that's more MAGA. Move to Texas or Oklahoma or Florida or Tennessee. Or move somewhere where you can just, you know, walk right into a House seat. You don't abandon your post. You don't run. You don't retreat. You don't take a single back step. I'm 34 years old. 34. Now, I get that our founding fathers, the patriots who helped found this country, were even younger than I am. When they helped build this country, when they defeated the British Empire, when we declared our independence, I understand that. 34 is not young, but it certainly isn't old. And if I can help save this state, then I will. And I'll give my life to do it. And every last one of us, anybody listening to this, has to ask themselves, are you ready to give your life to save this country? Because that's where we are in the game now. That's where we are. That's the moment we're in now in this nation's history. You are the Patriots at Yorktown. But you have to make a decision. And it's all of us, even the Democrats. Even the Democrats. Some of you have to just come on into the light. I know it feels good. when the white liberal woman like Peggy Flanagan, pull the Peggy Flanagan hostage video up again. You just can't play this enough. It's like Christmas. It's like political Christmas. The greatest fraud in the recent history of Minnesota. And she triples down with the Somali leaders and shows up in a hijab. You're talking about a Native American Catholic woman who professes to be a trans kid activist and obviously a feminist as well. And I never got the alliance between the Sharia law Muslims or Islam and the radical feminists. I never understood how they find common ground. Because certainly Peggy Flanagan doesn't believe that women should be submissive to their husbands. I mean, come on, what a joke. The modern day American leftist feminist believes that men are the leaders of their household, that men are the authority, the natural God ordained authority of their families. This is what Peggy Flanagan believes, because that's what the hijab represents. It represents a sort of humility of the woman, that I'm only going to show the better parts of myself to my husband because I'm submissive to his role as an authority in our marriage and in life. Peggy Flanagan doesn't believe in that. And by that measure, her wearing the hijab is completely theatrical, as if we didn't already know that the entire Democrat motif is completely theatrical. And I just put a call out to the rest of the Democrats in the country. Aren't you tired of being, are you not embarrassed? Are you not embarrassed? Apropos to the point I made earlier about communities and demographics of people being named by their demographic, by their race, by their group that they self-identify as. Okay, you want to identify as black? Then when we start saying black people, don't get offended. You want to say you're Catholic or Christian or Muslim or Jewish? When we start saying your name and your group by the name that you chose, don't get offended. Let me ask the Democrats, are you not embarrassed? Because when I hear what Tom Emmer said back in 2015 as a Republican candidate, I'm embarrassed. When I see Lindsey Graham get up there at, what was it? Was it AmFest or was it a Turning Point event? I forgot where he was. But he got up there and he said, "We're killing all the right people," with his little, you know, effeminate, goofy laugh. I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed by Lindsey Graham. I'm embarrassed by Mitt Romney. I'm embarrassed by Liz Cheney. I was embarrassed by Dick Cheney. I'm embarrassed by George Bush. I can say that as a Republican, I'm embarrassed by these people. Are you not embarrassed by Peggy Flanagan? Are you not embarrassed by Tim Walz? You're really gonna toe a party line so hard. You're so loyal, such a dogmatic belief in the Democrat Party. You're not embarrassed by these things? That's what I mean when I said there are no party lines anymore. Because there's enough embarrassment on both sides of the aisle. And I'm not making a false equivalency between Republicans and Democrats. I'm really not. The fundamental difference between the Republican Party and the Democrat Party, theoretically, philosophically, is that the Republican Party at current at least pretends there's room for God in our culture. And I do say pretend for a reason. But pretending that there's room for God in the culture at least allows the Christian to make room for God in the culture. The Democrats have stomped out room for God and Christianity in this culture, which is completely unacceptable, especially if you're going to go before the American people or Minnesotans and wear a hijab. So Christianity is not acceptable, but Sharia law is. Spit on the floor, you make me sick. Spit on the floor, you people make me sick. You disgust me. You should be embarrassed. You should be ashamed of yourselves. It should be hard for you to even look in the mirror, to even stomach the sight of your own corrupt face. You all are scumbags. But I hope that I can appeal to some of the Democrats that still have some sacred honor. Sure, you know, you have social liberal views, or you know, you believe in some of these charities and programs for some of the poor. I get it. I get it. People want to be charitable. They want to be generous. They want to be altruistic and humanitarian. I understand that. And I do think that our American community, as we deconstruct the administrative state and we shrink the federal government, which is another fundamental tenet, theoretically, of the Republican Party and the difference between us and the Democrats, at least in theory, as we deconstruct the administrative state and shrink the federal government, America is going to have to pick up the necessary Christian charity in the gap. I'm working on that now, working on a food program, a real food program in the state of Minnesota. Not a feeding our future scam, a real food program. Because in America, we do waste 2/3 of the food that we produce. 2/3 of the food that we produce in America goes to waste. It gets thrown in the garbage. That's a matter of logistics. That's a matter of logistics. It's not a matter of production. So we should be able to get close to expiring food to people who would otherwise go hungry. That's a perfectly legitimate thing to do. That's a perfectly legitimate thing to be charitable in. But when we say we're feeding kids that don't exist, that's not charity. That's called fraud. It's not charity. It's fraud. And there's a difference. And the problem with it is, We, the conservative movement, the Christian community in this country, has abnegated the charity in many ways. We gave it to NGOs, right, that are just about as fraudulent as the rest of the bunch. But we abnegated the real duty of real charity. And of course, when you give it to Tim Walz and the socialists and the communists and the Marxists, they're going to do with it what they do with everything else. They're going to do with it what they do with everything else, what they've done with this country. They've tried to destroy this country. They want to see it burn. They want to go down with it. They have a real sadomasochism. They're nihilistic about life itself. We're not going down with you. We're done. We're done with the managed decline of the West. We're done with the nihilism. We're done with the sadomasochism. We're done with the suicidal empathy. We're not going down with the ship. The next American Revolution has begun. Thank you for tuning in this Sunday evening. Thank you to Alex Jones and the entire InfoWars crew for having me guest host again. I can't wait until next time. God bless you. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. We'll see you next time. Godspeed.
I didn't plug last hour because I've been so focused on the news. If I don't plug, we won't be here because I'm not funded by the Qataris or the Israelis or the Russians or the Jews or the Easter bunnies. I am funded by you. So I'm going to sell you products that really work so you want them. Now, we got two different flavors, Fruit Punch and in Freedom Mango. I didn't name this. It's a very, it looks like a firecracker. It's a beautiful cover. Ultimate power. How about unlimited power? And for Palpatine. But it really is a pre-workout, post-workout, Turbo Force 2.0. I mean, this is seriously powerful, super high quality. Everything it does for your body is next level. Ignites mental clarity and focus, cleans, sustained energy, enhance blood flow and endurance, supports daily cognitive function. L-citrulline converts to L-arginine. Don't know what that does. We got the best formula of it. It's amazing. L-theanine, relax, wake up, clarity and focus. Natural caffeine from coffee concentrated. Vitamin B12, the highest quality, B6 and more. This is really strong. If you love Turbo Force, you're going to love Ultimate Power. We should call it Unlimited Power. I've never popped it on the cover. The point is that it funds the operation. I said, hey, we need a clone of this product or make it better for their store. And they said, okay, this is what they came out with. I've been on them for a year to do this. It's really strong, tiny little scoop. This thing, by the way, is heavy. This is like a whole bunch of servings, like a couple months worth. So get yours now. I like the fruit punch flavor. And by the way, today's one of the last days where you can get 60% off on Ultramethylene Blue, Irish Sea Moss, Shilajit, and more at thealexjonesshow.com. Thanks for your support. Hour number four is straight ahead.